The Bizarre Cast contains adult themes and explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Bizarre Cast with myself, Richard. And today, with me, many people ask, who is the G-Man? But I, today, I'm asking, how is the G-Man? G-Man, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks a lot. That's a cool introduction. I like that.
Well, I do try my best to keep myself entertained with little puns, as many of the listeners would know. For those who are now listening and are wondering, who is the G-Man? Firstly, I know we'd ask him how he is, but who is the G-Man? Firstly, G-Man.
I don't know. That's a pretty deep question. I'm just kind of like a random dude who started making stupid videos on video games and somehow amassed a small audience that seems to like what I do. And here we are, you know, 6 years later doing the same thing.
Yeah, of course, like myself now included, having a chat with you, I'm sure you might get plagued across the internet, because I've only been introduced to yourself on YouTube in the last sort of 2 months. It was mainly after I got Duke Nukem Forever on the Switch, and I was
I'm sorry trying to look
up. Yeah, I know. I was trying to, you know, look up reviews, and I think you had your, you know, anthology just review or whatever of the whole series, and here we are today. But how did you get started with the name? Is it got to do with just, because I know it used to be GGG.
Yeah, it's like a really weird sort of history, because like when YouTube started, you know, back then no one really knew that it was going to be as big as it was. And when YouTube first came up, I started uploading like clips of like Seinfeld and Simpsons stuff to YouTube.
Oh, sure.
And back then the name was, I think back then the name was just G-Man, because obviously just G-Man. And then that account got banned because of copyright things, obviously.
Yeah.
And I just kept creating separate accounts and just like uploading Simpsons clips and movie clips, and kept getting banned because I didn't really care. And it just kind of morphed, and then morphed into G-Man Lives, which was the account where I started doing the gaming stuff. And then after a while, I had a mate who said to me that, you know, that name's just way too hard to pronounce. So he just goes, just maybe just one G, and just changed to G-Man Lives. And it I think it's worked out well in the long run, because I never hear people struggling to pronounce it anymore. Whereas if I've done podcasts where it was the old name, people would be like, GGG man. Like it was almost like they were asking me a question when they were pronouncing my name. So it's literally just random events, and it's just somehow stuck. Do you know what I mean?
So it doesn't stand for Ginger Man or anything like that?
No, there's been a few different like funny examples of what people thinks it have thought it stood for. One of them was like German Man Lives or something like this. All these stupid like ideas. But yeah, no, there's no secret mean to it. It's just a dumb YouTube name from when I was just kind of trolling YouTube with bad Simpsons clips, like, you know, 240p Simpsons clips, really shitty low res stuff as well.
I know. Well, I suppose there was someone before 6 years ago. He didn't just appear out of the ether through the tubes of YouTube.
Yeah.
What was the G-Man before YouTube? What's your background? How did you get into video making?
I went to uni to do like, I think anyone who has an interest in film when you're like in high school, or maybe it's just me, but naturally you get out of high school and you think you're going to become like the next Martin Scorsese or the next Quentin Tarantino. So like I went to uni to study film, and then I realized within like a year that this was really shit and I'm not going to be making like the next Kill Bill. So I dropped out of uni and I just got into like more of the practical side of it, and just video, like shooting video and editing video. And yeah, just off the back of that, I mean, I had a computer at home, I played a lot of video games, and I was like, you know, this is seems like a pretty fun thing to do. And there wasn't really like a big community back then on YouTube of people doing those videos. Like nowadays there's so many people.
Yeah.
And there's so many niches and so many people covering different genres. But back then it was just like, there was nobody around. So those early days when I put out really crappy videos, like it was just more as a hobby than, you know, a game plan of like building it into a bigger channel. And again, like I said, like the username, it was just a circumstantial thing that just ended up kind of snowballing from there.
Yeah, and like, would you consider yourself a YouTuber now? Is this what you're doing full time?
Kind of. It's probably like part time, but it's not. It's not like a full time career for me. And I like to kind of think that it's still a hobby, because I think that if I start doing it like every day, I think it would just get to the point where you take all the fun out of it. So I'm trying to kind of keep it more of a hobby at this point, and only really cover things I generally like to play. I think that's kind of the trick. As long as I don't just start trying to cover every single thing that comes out, I think that's when it would feel like it would turn into a job. So yeah, I've tried to maintain a healthy balance of work and enjoyment out of it too.
Yeah, because I'm going to be your hype man now for the next second. So you have currently sitting at 360,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is no small feat.
Yeah.
And that has been sort of growing steadily in, would you say it's like probably doubled in the last 2 years? Do I have that right? Like it's getting a good head of steam now.
Yeah, I think originally, I mean, for the first 2 or 3 years I was doing this, honestly, I had no audience whatsoever. And I didn't really set out to have an audience, so it didn't really bother me. But I think around the time I started really just focusing on like the shooting games in general was when it started to kind of explode. And then as long as you kind of stay up to date and you do a lot of, you know, relevant titles, it just kind of seems to grow organically as long as you're making, I guess, content that people want to watch. So I like to think maybe I'm doing something right if it's still sort of expanding and people are still watching it. So yeah, it's been, it's definitely been exponential. Like it's definitely, is that the right word? Exponential? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's definitely been sort of in a very small amount of time where it's sort of expanded like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I guess for the likes of myself, like YouTube is a weird fish. Cause I suppose being down in Australia, obviously the accent being a dead giveaway, I'm not from here.
Mm. Oh, you're not? Okay. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like okay. this is my Eastern suburbs accent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I was following two other Australian gaming channels like Modern Vintage Gamer and Carl Jobs, the speedrunner.
Yeah. Carl, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think then I was looking at different videos and you popped up. And now every third or fourth video on my feed now is G-Man Lives. So I can't stop watching them. So I even saw like the video popped up 4 years ago and you were having like an existential crisis of what you wanted to do with the channel. But that was 4 years ago and you're still banging out the videos.
I didn't even remember that. I'll have to go and watch that video. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what to do with Patreon and oh God, I don't know if I should keep doing the channel.
Yeah, I really have to find that one. I don't remember making that. Yeah. Maybe I'd had a bit too much vodka that week or something. You know, I was a bit
possibly. Blind so, like, me. This is what I'm saying. So, you nearly have like 600 videos. Why first-person shooters specifically? Why do you think that's your jam for so long?
Well, because that was like the genre that got me hooked on gaming. Like the first video game that I can remember playing, like in sort of intensely, was Wolfenstein 3D. Yeah. On my dad's computer. So that was the, like, before that I'd played like other games and we had like a Nintendo and we had an Atari and all that kind of stuff. But that was like the first game that really got me hooked on gaming as a hobby in that. And then when like I started doing the YouTube thing, like there wasn't really anyone who did those kind of videos specifically. You had like the angry Nintendo nerd or whatever it was called back then, you know, James Rolfe. And he kind of had that niche cupboard of like retro things, but no one was really doing the shooter genre. I know Clint at, is it Classic Game Reviews or LGR? I keep getting those two mixed up just because of the acronym. But anyway, Clint from LGR, I think it was, started doing reviews on first-person shooters, and I was like, I kind of want to do that same thing. So he kind of influenced me off doing that. It just kind of followed on from that because it just wasn't really anyone doing just those kind of games specifically. And I felt kind of like I had a bit of a history with it because, like I said, I had been playing them at that point for 20-something years. So, yeah, I've only ever tried to cover games that I feel like I know something about. Like I'd never talk about sports games or driving games or any of that kind of stuff or even like real-time strategy. It's just not what I'm good at and I don't think I would have much to say about it. So I think also maybe part of why I've got a better following is just because I stick to that niche. So people always know when, you know, a shooting game comes out, there's a high chance that I might be talking about it. So it's probably definitely helped out in the long run too.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously I'm talking to you here now today because I have been enjoying the videos, although in a short time. Because definitely you are filling a niche because my earliest memories, because you call yourself a boomer. I'm approaching boomer age. I'm only 28.
Yeah.
But just growing up and playing GoldenEye with like DK mode and paintball mode at my friend's house.
Yep.
Shout out to Dave. You know, from there, Jesus, my first time playing Doom was on the Game Boy Advance. And I loved that, even though it was like such a shit version. So I think watching your videos, especially now, because I had to leave the old Xbox back in the homestead. So I only have a little Switch and a shit laptop. So I can't play any games. So I think a lot of people, I'll speak for your whole audience, they sort of live vicariously through the reviews to an extent, I would say.
Yeah, but the benefit is that a lot of them are like older games, so you could probably get a lot of that stuff running on your laptop. Like, as long as your laptop's not from the 80s, like, you should be able to run heaps of those games.
Well, it just feels like it sometimes, because as I was saying to you offline before we started, I had no confidence in Skype starting up to record, so that's kind of where we're at. Yeah. So, like, would you always have just played shooting games? Because I know myself, I don't play sports either, and primarily I would say I would only play like shooters or platformers. Is there any other things you enjoy?
Look, I play pretty much everything, to be honest, like, apart from those examples of sports and RTS games and stuff. But I mean, like, some of my favorite games, like the Metal Gear Solid series is one of my all-time favorite like game series like ever. Max Payne and those kind of games. Just action stuff in general. But I think for nostalgia reasons, first-person shooters is like kind of my go-to, just because it just reminds me of being a kid and playing video games with my dad and all that kind of stuff. He's not dead, by the way. It's not like a post-mortem thing, but like, it's just simpler times, man. You know, like when you're a kid and you finish school on a Friday or whatever, and you have like no cares in the world, and you've got 2 days to just hang out with mates and just play video games. Like, it's just kind of reminds you of that, you know, those better times, I suppose, before we had to worry about if we could even get toilet paper at the supermarket. Like, it's even now, I think it probably even more than ever, people are looking to that side of things for escapism, you know?
Yeah. Well, my pandemic anecdote is I didn't see toilet paper for 7 weeks in Coles.
Jesus. So
Yeah. What about you? Are you looking far and wide?
Look, I was pretty smart. Like, when, cause I drive around a lot for work stuff. So when we kind of got wind of what was happening, we stocked up, not like to the point of hoarders, but we got one of those massive like 24 pack things, and that lasted, I live with my partner, so that lasted us a while, and then when it kind of died down again, we bought another big roll pack again. So I think we're doing all right. There's only two of us, and I think we'd be able to get through to next year pretty comfortably at this point. So we kind of dodged that bullet with the toilet paper.
That's great to know that G-Man is sorted now for the next couple of months with that
when it comes to toilet paper. Yeah.
Well, sometimes you do play a lot of shit, so you might run out of bits
sooner
rather than later.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, like, this week now, for example, I know this won't date very well, but you brought out two videos in the 1 week. So how do you sort of go about the release schedule?
The release schedule is, there's pretty much no release schedule. I try to be consistent, but I don't really ever have like a strict methodology of stuff to do. With obviously when a new game comes out, it'll just be whenever you're allowed to review it because of embargo. But with a lot of the older stuff, it's just like, I'll just be on my computer one day and I'll just start playing something, or I'll start thinking, oh, you know, I'd like to do a video on that game. And then I just kind of upload it when it's done. And I think the weekends are generally better for traffic reasons, because more people are on YouTube. But honestly, I don't even think that whole methodology of uploading at certain times and certain hours, I don't really think that matters anymore. Like, if you make good content and you have a good subscriber base or a good viewer base, they're going to watch it no matter when you put it up. So I've kind of come to the realization that it probably doesn't matter too much, as long as you're consistent. That's probably the only trick I've kind of noticed.
Yeah. And what's the sort of process then? Like, do you write a script out, or is it all your own footage that you put up, or how do you put together a video?
Yeah, of course. So, like, every game, I obviously have to play from start to finish, because I feel like you don't really have the capacity to talk about a game if you haven't at least finished the whole thing. And then usually I'll finish the game first, obviously, and I'll kind of type notes while I'm playing the game, just so I don't have to remember these little things. And then you kind of go back in and fill in the blanks for the script, and, you know, add in all the other necessary kind of information. And yeah, that's it. I mean, it just kind of depends on how long the game is. Like, obviously, some games are going to take longer than others. So it's the same system, but it just varies greatly in time, depending on what it is, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose then, like, you do have a persona on YouTube compared to how you're chatting with me now, per se.
Yep.
And you can definitely tell, you know, from earlier videos to now, how are you, like, balancing the shtick versus your genuine opinion when it comes to the reviews?
I mean, like, the opinion, it's always like what I think in a game, but like, I don't think I'm like a hilariously spontaneous guy in real life. I mean, I think I'm still pretty funny, but like, fun to be around. But yeah, I have to kind of think about how to put a spin on some of my points to make them entertaining. That's why I've never really dabbled in like streaming and Twitch streaming, that kind of stuff, because I don't think I'd be interesting to watch. But if you give me like a week to sit down and try and think of a funny way to try to present something, I could probably do a pretty decent job at it.
Yeah, because I pretty much listen or watch videos at like double speed. So it's nearly more entertaining.
Yeah, right.
To hear you like at going way faster. And the one that always cracks me up, because you never know when it's going to come in, is when you say something, well, if you think X, then you're dead to me. It just always gets a chuckle out of me. And yeah, it's okay. So stupid.
I'll make a note of that. I'll start using that more then. I don't think I've said it for a while.
No, but I don't know. It's just like, I'm not expecting it. It's like, well, if you think this is right, then you're dead to me. Or, I don't know. It's just, I think it's like the stupid little quips like that, like, have really just kept me entertained. Because I think really when you're actually reviewing, you do have a lot of good points. Like, and I think you really culminated something I was like unconscious of when it came to games, especially first person shooter games. Like, I used to love playing Call of Duty, like growing up, like that was the thing in school. And you're just like, oh, artificial difficulty, it's just pop up as fast as you can, kill the other guy, compared to, we'll say, Doom 2016, that was all projectile based.
Yep.
And I was like, holy shit, I didn't even realize why I loved Doom 2016 so much. It's because it was more skill based. And yeah, I think you're like, you're very clued in on what makes a good game. Is that something that evolved over time with all the reviews, or?
I mean, I guess so. Like it's kind of been part of like YouTube's evolution as well, because again, like back when I started, the longer format videos weren't really like a thing. Like, people just did those 4 or 5 minute videos. So I'm kind of getting better at it. And I think having the comfort to just take your time and maybe approach the analysis as well has kind of helped it. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just the more you do things, the more you kind of pick up on things anyway, right? Like, the more you play the games, the more you kind of pick up on these things naturally too. So it's just been like that kind of progression over time.
Yeah, and like, do you think you're still enjoying playing games, or has it become like a bit of a slog at any stage?
No, like I said, I've always tried to play things that I like to play. And even if it's something that's like terrible, like a really bad game, I'll kind of pick it if it's like entertainingly terrible. Like, that good example was that Hunt Down the Freeman game. I don't know if you played that. It came out, I think it was like 2 years ago now.
No, I didn't, but I've heard you reference it many times so far.
Yeah, like it's a piece of shit, man. It was like a fan-made sequel to Half-Life 2, which is huge. Oh, sure. Like, we've been wanting new Half-Life stuff forever, and Valve is just like pissing in our mouths the whole time with it. But I mean, that game was terrible, but it was like entertainingly terrible. It's kind of like watching like a bad film. Like, you'll still watch it even if it's terrible. So,
but yeah, if there's a bad movie.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a game that I just absolutely loathe, I try to not play it. But having said that, I played The Last of Us 2 a few weeks back, and that game was so depressing. I wasn't kind of kidding when I said that game like literally bummed me out and made me just want to like kill myself. Maybe not kill myself, but that game just has such a negative impact on your mental stability when you play it, man. So that was a struggle. But
yeah, I can imagine. Like, is there anything that you just abandoned, like you're halfway through a video and you're like, actually, I can't even play this anymore. Like, it's so bad. It's bad. Like, I can't even do it.
Yeah, there is. The other thing, that's a good point. It's a good question to bring up, because I think a lot of the way that I got a good audience was by covering indie games, you know, like independent studios. That was how I got a pretty good following. And I still like to play a lot of those games, and I still get them sent to me. But the difference now is just like, I think if I did a bad video back then and I was like, oh, this game sucks, this is terrible, like a couple hundred people would watch it, like it wouldn't really matter. But now it's like, these guys send me their indie games that they've worked on for like a year, 2 years, whatever. Hey G-Man, do a video on our game because you like shooters, blah blah blah. I play it, it's terrible, and I almost want to just not do a video, because I don't want to do a video
and slate them.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like they're selling like a $7 or $8 game. It's not like Bethesda or Electronic Arts, budget, like, for one of those massive companies selling like an $80 game. So I just don't see the benefit in coming up and saying, you know, I played this game and doing a 15-minute video just ripping its asshole apart. So it's definitely happens a lot more. But yeah, now it's just kind of like, it's almost like a respect thing. I don't want to sound like a dickhead by saying that, but yeah, I just feel it's not going to benefit anyone by me doing that. I mean, it would benefit me because it would get views and people would comment and watch it, but it's just not worth it, you know, for the people that have worked on it sometimes.
Like, when did you feel yourself that you were just going from like Joe Soap, anyone has an opinion, to sort of almost an authority, I suppose, if you want to say, like, people actually listen to you and they watch you? and they actually take on board what you're saying? Like, when did you feel that tipping point, if you ever did?
I don't consider myself an authority at all. It's kind of funny because I'm pretty humble about it. And I don't know. I still find it really weird sometimes that people, like, I get private messages and someone said, oh man, I bought this game based off your recommendation. It's just like, that's still really like surprising to me, not in a bad way, but just like a kind of a humbling way. So I don't consider myself an authority. All I ever really try to do is just say, you know, this is what I've played. And I've only ever tried to give my honest opinion on something, which has gotten me into trouble in the past. Like, the classic example was when Fallout 76 came out. And but prior to that game coming out, I got into it a little bit later because they didn't do early launch stuff for it. So it took me like a week to get into it. And all I saw for a week, man, was just people talking about this game like it was a cancer that just murdered their family or something. Or like, you know, it's the worst thing since like
coronavirus.
Yeah, like hepatitis or something. Oh, Fallout 76. And then I played it with three of my mates who I always play games with. And it was like, it was pretty bad, but it wasn't the worst game I've ever played. Like, I could think of, you know, four or five games off the top of my head at the time that were way worse that came out that year. And everyone's just going, oh, this game sucks, blah, blah, blah. And my reaction to it was like, it's pretty bad, but like, it's not that bad. And that got me like so much negativity and hate. But it's what I've only ever done is the exact same thing. But then you have those times when you say it and it kind of conflicts with the general consensus.
Yeah.
And it kind of backfires. So it's funny because like it's that system that's worked well and people, I think, trusting what I say sometimes, but it can also backfire kind of horribly in a lot of ways. But it's just an opinion. I've never said this game is that. I've always just gone, look, this is what I think of it. Here's the facts to back it up of what I think this. And if you don't agree with me, well, you know, you're dead to me. That's all I can do. Point.
Yeah, because it seems on the other side of it then that you seem to have, from what I can see from the outside looking in, like quite a good relationship with Bethesda then. And do they have a office in Sydney somewhere?
Yeah, it's over on Manly somewhere, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So like, were you over with them playing like Doom Eternal before it came out? And
yeah, well, they had a bunch of press people around for that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so how do you get involved with that? Like, how do you get invited, or do you put your hat in the ring, or is there a secret club we don't know about?
No. I mean, it's just kind of basic, I guess, gaming PR stuff. I've actually kind of brought on someone to just kind of handle that aspect of it for me. I mean, a lot of it is just. Well, I kind of got lucky when I started because when I was sort of getting a bit more notoriety, a lot of people sort of, not a lot of people, but I mean, the PR people would kind of take notice of me. That's kind of how I came into contact with Bethesda, because obviously they bought out id Software, who made Doom and Quake.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think from memory, one of their Aussie contacts messaged me and was like, hey, we saw these videos you're making on you know, Doom and stuff on YouTube. I think it was around when Wolfenstein 2 was coming out, the new Colossus.
Yeah.
And they said, we got a new Wolfenstein game coming out. Would you like to come along and, you know, do a video on it? And that game came out and I got a review code for it or whatever. And same thing there, funny thing about that, like I tore that game to shreds. I thought it was terrible. And the right response is what they took was just to say, you know, that's what it's about. I mean, you can't kind of sugarcoat the response that people are going to have. So it never affected the relationship in a negative way, but it was just me saying, look, I didn't really like this game and here was my kind of thoughts on it. But it's really just about, I don't know, once you kind of get as a known person in those kind of communities, then they'll kind of consider you for certain opportunities. Like, they wouldn't email me and say, hey, we've got, I don't know, what's like a racing game or something that they're working on. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't contact me about those things. But if there's like a new Doom game or a Quake game, like they'd come to me and say, hey, do you want to do some coverage on it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, just a little bit on that point, do you think you would like to branch out a little bit, like kind of flex your creative muscle with different types of games, or?
Just kind of depends what it is. It's like, it's probably on more of a case by case basis, I think. Yeah. Cause like I said, I stay away from certain genres, like fighting games too. I've never really been big on like Mortal Kombat and all that kind of stuff. I was when I was a kid, but it's really skill based, almost like FPS games now, where the skill ceiling in some of those games is so insanely high. And they're more about their multiplayer component too. So that's kind of turned me off because I just don't have the time or the patience to get into like a completely different genre. Mm. But yeah, man, I mean, if a game sat right with me and it looked pretty awesome, yeah, of course I'd branch out and check it out. Just depends what it is, I suppose.
Yeah, and I suppose then like you're fast approaching 600 videos in like 6-7 years kind of thing. At any stage, like, would you just be like, nah, I'm done? Or is it, you know, are you getting burnt out, or have you ever felt like pressure from the audience, or how does it work?
I've definitely felt burnt out, but there's always like something that I want to work on. Do you know what I mean? Like, a burnt out comes just more from like current games, like, cause there'd be so many things coming out in 1 month. Like, the end of the year is always like the really sort of rushed period where like Call of Duty comes out, and there's always just like a bunch of games that come out in like November and that just kind of swamp you. Not even like in terms of making videos, but just like personally, like I play a lot of games and I don't do videos on all of them. So
yeah,
you just get burnt out from playing games. But no, there's always like something that I want to go back and talk about, man, or some old game that I think, oh yeah, I'd love to do some stuff on that. And then someone might message me and say, hey, check this game out, came out. And yeah, there's always like stuff that keeps me going. And honestly, like 90% of the videos I'm doing now come off recommendations from people that watch them. Like that 50 Cent game, like that I did a video on.
That looked fun, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the dumbest game ever, but it's like someone was like, oh, do you remember that 50 Cent game? You should do a video on it. I was like, yeah, shit. Like, I've got a copy of that somewhere. I was like, okay. You know what I mean? And dug that out. And
that game's
awesome. Yeah, it's just, but I would never have thought of it if someone hadn't randomly messaged me. And I did a video on, I think, like the Half-Life PlayStation 2 port. That was another situation where someone just messaged me and said, hey, you should do a video on like the Half-Life PS2 port because it's really good. And I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. And a lot of it comes off recommendations. So that's kind of keeping me going more than my own ideas, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So what's it like your favorite part then of the video? Is it like playing the game, doing, you know, the overdub on the script or the editing? Like, what's your favorite part of the puzzle?
It's definitely not the editing, because editing sucks. Playing the game depends on what the game is. I think the funnest part, man, is just uploading it and then going through people's comments. And the funniest part is when I'm like, you're talking about how you picked up on a funny line, like the "you're dead to me" thing. Like, the funniest part is reading comments and people quoting something that they thought was funny that I might not have even really thought was that funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's always the funniest part. And a lot of the lines have come from that. Like, I think I said, I used to have this saying like ages ago where I talked about Reuben sandwiches all the time.
Yeah.
You know those sandwiches, like the sauerkraut stuff? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said it in one video and like everyone just latched onto that, like thought that was a hilarious saying. And maybe it's my accent and the way I say it. So that just became like a catchphrase for like probably like a year. And then I made a joke about someone's mum, and that kind of the "your mum" joke stuck for a little bit, which is so funny when people get so offended by that. They're like, oh, you're so mature. But it's like, dude, it's come on, man. It's like, I'm not honestly making a joke about your mum or calling your mum fat in, like, you know what I mean, like a 50 Cent video or something.
Yeah,
it's like, dude, it's just all fun and games, literally.
No, that's definitely where the humor comes from, because you're kind of like playing it really seriously and then like, well, fuck you, your mom. Like, it's something to...
Well, that's what I think. That's why I think it's funny, because I try to do it after like a very valid point or something. And like calling someone like a bitch, like I don't do it as much anymore, but I'll say something and I'm going, yeah, you little bitch. Like, just to... You can't be all serious, right? You need to have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, like, do you think sometimes, because I think definitely like Ireland, England, Australia, like we kind of have the same humor.
Yeah.
You find any time that people will be like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. But you're like, what the fuck did I say? Is there any stage where...
Massively. Yeah. It's, I had a discussion with this about a mate of mine. He does YouTube stuff too. I won't name names, but he was saying the same thing where he's like, yeah, I won't say all Americans, but some Americans don't pick up on our sarcasm sometimes. And that's probably partly on me, because I probably don't make it too obvious, but... there's certain videos where I would have thought that I was clearly being sarcastic, and people would just, there'd be dozens of comments like, I can't believe you said this, or what an idiot. It's like, dude. So now in some videos I've had to say, after I've made a sarcastic remark, I'll just say, by the way, I was being sarcastic, for those people who might not pick up on it. But maybe it's a two-way street. I don't know. Maybe there's not enough sarcasm in my voice, but, it's definitely like kind of cultural in a sense. Sometimes with those type of jokes. Yeah.
Yeah, no, because it actually, like, it's great. It actually is, honestly, like, a breath of fresh air to have found, like, Australian content creators, because you just get really sick of just the American shtick the whole time, because even just separate to games, don't know, did you ever see that guy, like, Alex, the French cook guy? He, like, goes around, like, you know, France, Italy, and he goes to, like, you know, where they make, like, mozzarella and all these different cheeses and best pizzas in the world. Like, but you just wouldn't get that from like an American person. They'd be like going around New York trying to get like a dollar pizza and stuff.
Yeah.
Just kind of so refreshing just to get a different like take on things, I suppose, like the Australian take on things.
Yeah. I think it's the accent too. I think people just, maybe the accent's better because, yeah, I think like per capita, you'd have way more people in America on YouTube, right, than you would Australians. Like, I don't even really know, I barely know any other Australian YouTubers, but I know shitloads of American YouTubers.
Yeah. And like, have you ever done like collabs with other people, or how does it kind of work in your little clique?
Yeah. I think I've done a couple in the past. The general like response is just that people would just, because I mean, like the people watching the video, if it's on your channel, will be your viewers. So most of the comments are just like, "Who the fuck is this guy that you've got on your thing?" Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's never really it's been fun, but it's never really been, it hasn't got like a great response in that, and not the response you kind of want from having something like that where you're trying to just chill out and collab with someone else. But
yeah. And do you think you'll always like keep yourself? You wouldn't do like G-Man Let's Play and two guys like chatting over something? Or
I would love to get into like I've thought about this a bit. I'd love to get into like a movie discussion, like separate video series, because I'm a big like movie buff, especially like old 80s films, like, you know, like Big Trouble in Little China and those kind of films, Back to Future, stuff like that. I just love that like decade and genre of film. So I'd love to just have like a series, man, where like I could just sit down with someone and chat about like The Warriors or, you know, one of those like kind of cool old films. But every time I've kind of dabbled in something that goes off the mark like that, it just, yeah, people just, they just don't give a shit. Cause I think it's just, they've come to expect one type of content now, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll throw my hat in the ring for that. So if you ever want to do the G-Man podcast, how about that?
Man, if you ever want me as a guest and we can talk about it, yeah, I'll throw my hat in for that too.
Yeah. Well, actually the biggest problem I am having, and the first 2 years I did the podcast, it's nearly 4 years now. The first 2 years, every 2 weeks, there was an interview religiously on a Thursday. And ever since I moved down to Australia, man, there's fucking no one to talk to. That you don't have to be up at like 3 a.m. for like some cunt in LA for his lunchtime call or something. So I might take you up on that.
Yeah, I actually, I remember I had a podcast with a guy, I think it was in the UK, and I forgot to get up. I forgot to get on for him, but for him it was like 2 a.m. in the morning or something, because he worked my time. And I was like, I was so upset, man. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry, I forgot about it. And I never heard from him again after that. I was like, let me know when you want to do another one, I'll work around your time. I think I pissed him off that much that he just never bothered to chase me up again.
Oh, man. Yeah, because I was talking about the burning out, because Jesus, I'm only doing like a little podcast. And I was doing, I'd say it was probably for like 8 months straight, like every week, with a guy from New York. Shout out to Robert.
Yeah.
And Jesus, we just completely like collapsed, because he was like ready to go to bed. I was up at the crack of dawn, and just the two of us, like, because we used to do it in Ireland, it was a bit easier.
Yeah.
And just had to like stop it. So it's funny in that regard. Like, if you put out a video or just a solo thing, it's like people from around the world can pick it up when they want, not necessarily trying to do it live.
Yeah absolutely.
And I suppose then, if you were to have your desert island game, like, what would be your favorite game then? What would that be?
Jeez, it's got to be the original Doom, but there's like an asterisk to it. I mean, I'm assuming that I can bring Doom mods along with me.
That's gonna have a follow-up question.
Yeah,
after,
because Doom mods, like, Doom is just such an awesome game, but the amount of Doom mods out there and the ways you can manipulate the game and modify it and play different, you know, map packs and content packs, like, you could be trapped on a desert island for the rest of your life, you'd still have stuff to play through.
Yeah, because Jesus, I recently got Doom 64 on the Switch. Yeah, it's only like a fiver or something.
It's a great game. Yeah,
and I bought it originally like for the Nintendo 64, but I actually never played it. It was one of these things I found in a secondhand shop kind of thing. Mm. And I was like, fuck, I better play it. And then it got me down this rabbit hole of like Night Dive Studios. And I think that's how I found you as well, because I got Duke Nukem. It was on sale, as I mentioned. And yeah, fuck, they were so good, these old games. I think I might do Doom as well. I used to play that a lot on the Xbox Live Arcade as well.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah, the Doom 64, that it's such a crazy game, because it was made by like a completely different like studio too, I think. And it's like such a different take on, it's like the same formula, but they just approached it differently, man. Like, you play the original Doom, you've got like heavy metal music and stuff, and then you play Doom 64 and it's just like straight up like horror game with like fucked up music and creepy ass lighting. It's just so cool. Like, they're both awesome, but you've just got so completely different, you know, different takes on it. It's such an awesome game.
Yeah, but what I will say about Duke Nukem, I know you like it from what you said. I was initially fucking hating it because I never played it before. And I was like, this was groundbreaking.
What was it that you hated about it?
I think I didn't get the hang of how old school it was because I was so used to like regenerating health and stuff.
Right.
Like, literally the last, probably 20 years now since Halo next year.
Yeah.
But then since they had the quick rewind feature.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh, thank fuck. So I think I'm on the last chapter now. And I started really enjoying it once I got a hang of the different weapons. Like, the sandbox really opened up. And basically those fucking cop pigs who take 60 health off you around every corner.
Yeah.
I just started throwing pipe bombs around every corner. I know you're a fan of that when you were playing Blood as well.
Yeah, the dynamite sticks, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck this game. But I came to enjoy it. And Duke Nukem, of course, is a classic character with John St. John.
Well, you know, in your defense, those like Duke Nukem and Blood and that, I think they are like the absolute hardest of some of those old like sort of shooting games, man. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I mean, you go back to what you were saying before about like projectiles and stuff. Like, a lot of the enemies in that are like the hit scanning ones, like the pig cops.
Yeah, they were.
You can't
fuck them.
you've just got to get away from them. If they see you, they'll shoot you and hit you. And it's the same with those guys with the bloody like mini guns that you come up later in the other episodes. Like, those guys fuck you up. Like, it's a hard ass game. So you're not alone in that. Yeah.
Yeah, because especially those fuckers with the big chain gun and the Devastators, those massive guys.
Oh, they're just broken. Battle lords or something they're called. Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to like spam a Devastator from around the corner, peep in and out, and it's really
hope you can shoot like the edge of them so they can't even hit you or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I get them clipped behind a corner.
Yeah.
Stupid stuff like that. So like, it's kind of fun like revisiting all of these old things because I was hoping to get Halo Infinite now this Christmas, but it's been delayed probably till next Christmas,
2021 now, I think.
But like, it's not going to be like 2 months. They kept it very vague. I think they should probably kick it out to the 20th anniversary and just make it a huge thing.
Well it wasn't looking great, the stuff they showed. I think it was pretty obvious they were just trying to rush it out for the next Xbox, which is pretty piss weak. So good on them, man. At least they're doing the right thing and delaying it so it's not a complete piece of crap.
Yeah, is that a series that you'd be a fan of at all? Because I know you're more PC, but I've never played PC games, really.
Well, I mean, I like Halo, but I've only ever played Halo. I played Halo 3 on the Xbox 360, obviously, but I'd only ever played the Halo games on PC because I didn't have an Xbox at that point when it first came out. And the PC port, from memory, when it came out, was pretty well optimized. It's funny because you have that kind of demographic of people who absolutely love Halo and they'll rave about it and say, yeah, it's done this, it's done that. But it is a sort of a matter of, well, yeah, but like, we've been playing those games on the PC for like almost a decade at that point. So yeah, Halo was good if it was the first thing you ever played. But I think it was less impressive for PC gamers at that point because we just had so much stuff that had sort of, you know what I mean, like being around that same level of quality. And I mean, like, for me, really, like, if you want to talk about console things, like you said before, man, like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark on the Nintendo 64, they were just like insane when they came out.
Yeah,
they were the games that I played on a console. I was just like, I can't believe a console is doing this. And we, even Perfect Dark, like, there wasn't really any game on the PC at the time that could beat the type of stuff that Perfect Dark was doing. Like, I don't know if you remember playing that, if you ever played Perfect Dark, but you could shoot the guns out of like people's hands and shit, man. Like, shoot guys.
It's the next level up.
Like, the dude would drop his gun, and then if you didn't kill him, he'd go and pick his gun up again. There was no game on the PC that did that at the time. Not even close. Like, so yeah, I mean, it's like, I'd already been wowed by a console shooter with those type of games. So, but I respect the series, man. It's such a nostalgia thing for a lot of people, I think. So it's like, yeah, he's up there, man. Master Chief's as cool as Duke Nukem and the Doomslayer, for sure. I'll give him credit.
Yeah, because he probably would have been my Doomslayer, we'll say, because I would have been like 8 or 9 when that came out. And I remember like looking at that and seeing the overshield or whatever, the invisibility, the cloak or whatever it's called, for the first time. I was like, whoa, this looks like so real, and the graphics are amazing. And It's funny now, like we'd see, you know, like that new Unreal demo that they had on the PS5, and it looks like photorealistic. It's like Jesus watching a movie. But somehow it was more magical back then with the leaps between like
100%,
you know, PS2 to 360. Now it's just, you know, barely any difference. It's more like different art styles now than actual fidelity.
It's like diminishing returns. I think that's like the best example, because I'm actually doing a video on at the moment talking about Metal Gear Solid, is like the jump from Metal Gear Solid 1 to Metal Gear Solid 2, which was like PlayStation 2. Exactly. That jump. And I remember watching that trailer at the time, which was like, it was, yeah, you look at it, you're like, this is like the most insane shit I've ever seen. This is like, this looks like a movie. And you look at it now and you're like, oh, okay, it looks like crap. Like it's aged terribly. But yeah, man, there was definitely a sense of wonderment with those like reveals back then that we just don't have anymore. That magic's definitely lost. And now people look for things to complain about, like with that Halo Infinite trailer, people just ripped it to shreds.
Yeah, look, to be honest with you, what I genuinely thought, like the gameplay looked fantastic.
It did,
like Halo.
Yep.
And I was like, this is looking a little bit flat. And I said, you know, it kind of looks a little bit cartoony. It's, you know, return to original form. And then I watched like the Digital Foundry video that they were just breaking down the lighting and everyone just ripping it to shreds online. And I was like, look, it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't what's it called, like a console seller, we'll say. If that was meant to be their flagship title,
yeah,
it was a bit weak. But even the fact that they're releasing it for the Xbox One, which is like 7 years old now, like they just don't care about the new console if it launches. So I say Microsoft, you know, they're like, yeah, we'll wait. There's plenty of people, especially if it's going to be on PC, like that install base is huge as well.
Yeah, I don't know what the story is there, if it's going to be coming to PC at the same time, but I thought the word too was that demo was running on a PC build. I thought there was like a big reveal where they found out that it wasn't even actually on the next Xbox. It was,
I believe.
It's kind of like false advertising even as well. So it's like you've got the PC, which is a powerhouse, and it still looks terrible. It was a really weird event, man. Yeah.
But it's funny how it went from, because it was only, I was emailing my buddy like, and I was like, oh man, this looks like Minecraft, all those memes that are coming out. And within like the 2 weeks of him replying, they had already delayed it. So I don't know why they didn't say, guys, this isn't finished. We're kicking it out. Like, we can't show this, you know? Like, it was very strange.
Yeah, I guess it was just crunch and they just had to do whatever they could do as best they could. Yeah.
Yeah, because just to go back to the fidelity thing, my little anecdote would be, I had this like Formula One game for the Nintendo 64 and I brought it down to my grandparents' house and I put on like the cinematic replay and I thought like I'd trick my granddad to be like, hey, look, we're watching Formula One. And I was convinced that he thought it was Formula One, but I don't know. Was he like, oh yeah, Richard, good boy. Like, so it's hard to know whether he thought it was real or not, but we'll never know. He's dead now. I can't ask him.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good prank there as well.
Yeah, no, like it's just kind of funny how things go. I suppose then of like the last 5 years or even in the last year, what do you think's been your favorite game that you go back to besides like Doom with the mods?
Jeez, man. In the last 5 years, that's
or do you think that, yeah, I'll let you answer. I won't interrupt.
I don't know. So what do you mean, like in the last maybe decade, the one game I keep going back to?
Yeah, maybe of the last 10 years, we'll say.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really hard question. I don't think I could have like a single answer. 10 years? No, I couldn't even think of one, man. There's just way too many.
Well, while you're having a little think, it's not 10 years, it's bloody 15 years. But I've almost bought Resident Evil 4 like 3 times so far for like 4 different consoles. And
yeah, I've got it on PS2 and the PC.
Yeah, I had it on the GameCube originally.
Yeah.
Came out and got it on the 360 and I was gonna bloody buy it for the Switch and I was like, no, I can't. I've literally 100% to this like 2 times already. I can't.
But you picked a good game to, you know, be fascinated with, I think.
Yeah, so, but yeah. I don't know, is it a thing when you get older, like to say you enjoy like playing Doom and stuff, that you just gravitate to what you know nearly? Mm. It's like the way some people, you see it all the time on Reddit, like they're obsessed with rewatching The Office.
Yeah.
Like, do you just kind of go back to like your comfort food kind of games? Probably.
Yeah, well, there's always like, I'm still trying to think about like a game that I keep going back to. I can't think. Like, I know my old game that I always go back to is Metal Gear Solid 3, but that came out in 2003 or 2004 or something. Actually, maybe after that, I think it's 2005. So, that's kind of my comfort game. It, like, I would look at it in the sense of like a game that you've played so many times at this point that you don't have any stress from playing it because you know everything's so back to front that it's almost like watching a film because you can just sit down and autopilot all the way through it. You just want that endorphin again of like, hey, I love this bit, I love this bit. So I've got too many of those games to even think about, man. But Resident Evil 4 is a good one. Like, it's funny how people always try to shit on that game. Like, it's not as good as it is. Like, oh, it's not a good game. It controls like shit. And I played that again this year, and it still holds up. It's still an awesome game, you know?
Yeah, because it was funny because actually that was the thing. So I was going to buy that one, but the missus here at home, I was easing her into playing more co-op games with me. Mm. And we were playing, like, you know, the Marios, and I think we played Mario Odyssey, and she was playing as the Hat, like, just to ease her in.
Yep.
And then we actually got Resident Evil 5, and we played that all co-op. And it was my first time actually playing it. And I can see how people thought it was, like, really jumped the shark with that one. But as a co-op experience, I thought it was, like, 10 out of 10. I don't know, have you ever played that one?
Resident Evil 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's one of those games where it is definitely designed around the co-op aspect. Because you play it by yourself, and the AI teammate, Shiva or whatever, is pretty useless, but it's definitely designed around co-op. But there's still some stuff in that game that is just so stupid. It just jumps the shark so many times. Isn't there like a boss fight where you fight like a giant like octopus thing or something, and you have to like drone strike it or something to kill it? I remember it was the most insane boss fights.
Oh, yes, yeah. No, that's ringing a bell. Yeah, there was all these silly things, like you're on a boat, there's like half an octopus killing you. you're on another hangar, there's another giant octopus, and then at the end, like, Chris is punching
the boulder, giant boulder
that's while you're on an active volcano. And you're just like, hang on there a second. So you're telling me there was an African village that's right next to a big expansive swamp, next to an industrial mine, next to an active volcano.
Like,
it was just, but it was so entertaining.
What always reminds me about playing that game, because I think I had it on PlayStation 3, was the amount of, there's like so many cinematics in that where it changes to a quick time event and you're not really paying attention. You just like, I died so many times in that game because I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just watching like a movie, then something like the button prompt comes up on the screen, like, what? And then you're dead like straight away because you weren't paying attention. That's all I can remember from playing the game.
I'm actually so glad they like stopped that in games, because I think, because they tracked your, how many times you died in that game, right? So
yeah, it gets easier if you die too much. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I was playing with Maeve. So like, you know, the odd time we die, and I think it was like, you know, you got killed by one villager once, you got killed by a bug twice. And I think we died like 11 times to the final boss, like the most out of any enemy, because we just didn't know how to damage it. Mm. He kept just like swatting us into the lava. And I was like, this is bullshit. And I was looking up tutorial after tutorial, just couldn't figure it out. But we eventually persevered and got through it. Like, I wouldn't call myself a good gamer by any means. Like, would you think yourself a good gamer or average or
I mean, I guess so, like an action shooting game. I think it's just like motor skills as well, because if you've been playing them for like your whole life, you will naturally just kind of have like a basic level of skill with a lot of those things. So I mean, I can pick up most of those console sort of shooting and action games, even though I don't play them primarily anymore, and I can do okay them. Like, I've been a bit late to the party with a lot of those PS4 titles. Like, I only played Spider-Man like about a year or so ago. I think that came out like 3 years ago now, but yeah. I can just pick it up and play it. But a lot of those games, like the modern ones too, are designed to be pretty accessible. I think Resident Evil 5 probably falls into that cusp where it was still kind of like, you know what I mean? You still need a pretty high skill level to get through that game unscathed. So it's not an easy game by any means. It has like enemies in that game that just like kill you in one hit, from what I remember.
Yeah. You
know, like giant cockroach things that just like fucking grab you and like eat you straight away. I remember that was like nightmare inducing.
Yeah, because we've gone a bit of a co-op thing. We're doing Resident Evil Revelations 2 at the moment.
Yeah.
God, that's really boring. we're just like, I think we're on the last episode, the last half, and we're just like, I can't do it.
I haven't played that one, yeah. I played the first Revelations is good, though, I think, when you're on the... I don't know if that's co-op, though.
No, it's not. That's why we didn't get it, because it's like asymmetric co-op, so I was playing as like the auxiliary character.
Yeah.
So in one campaign, one's obviously like plays with the guns and does all the explosive grenades, blah, blah, blah. But the other person is like, I don't use guns. So you just have a crowbar and a flashlight.
Oh, that's shit.
And then in the other one, it's even worse, because one of them plays as Barry Burton, who is like armed to the teeth. And then the other one's a 6-year-old girl who can only point at things and throw bricks. So I was always playing as a girl. So I had to be like, master of the brick throwing. Like, and we were just like, this is crap.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just very mixed bag sometimes. Is there anything like you recently got that you're, you know, just had to get an instant refund or anything like that?
Last of Us 2.
No, yeah, I sent that one back.
Well, I got a digital copy of it, so I couldn't, and it was from like a friend who got me a key for it, so I couldn't I couldn't get rid of it. But yeah, if I paid money for that, I would have returned that within, at least as soon as I finished it, I would have returned it. Yeah. That's really the only game I can think of that I played in recent memory, dude, that I've just really, you know, strongly disliked. And even in recent memory, like, yeah, I just can't think of any other game that just bummed me out so much, you know. It's worth playing just to see if it can really affect your mood negatively as well. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, I don't have a PlayStation. I've never actually had a PlayStation. Mm. I'm not one of these, like, you know, fanboy people, but it's like the exclusives that they always had. Like, as you say, you weren't a fan of, like, racing games or fighting games.
Mm.
That's, like, primarily what I would have said that Sony had, like, and I just wasn't interested. And I would have been a fairly big Halo fanboy, like, I knew all the fucking lore, read the first 3 books, like one of these nerds, but now I could barely remember any of it. But I still want to play, like, I'm willing to put down whatever it's going to be, the $600, to play Halo. Like, that's pretty much, I'm buying it for Halo, which is so stupid.
No, man, I understand completely. Like, yeah, I only bought the Sony games for the Metal Gear Solid sequels at the time, the Sony consoles for the Metal Gear Solid games, you know.
Yeah, because it's so shit to say because the lineup's so bad. But the only other game I was excited for in the Xbox showcase was like Tetris Effect, which came out in PS4 like 3 years ago. So that will just tell you, like, the lineup, it's not very exciting.
Hey, Tetris is pretty awesome though. So
yeah, know, I'm playing a lot of the Tetris 99 on the Switch. Have you played that one?
No, I haven't.
It's like they managed to make like a very good like battle royale out of Tetris.
Right.
So it's like 99 players against each other. So it's all like tossing bricks back, and I've never won. I've gotten to like top 15 or whatever, but
okay,
it's a good bit of fun. So that's why I was like, oh yeah, can't wait.
Well, I went through a period where when I was working or just on my computer, I had Tetris championship videos, like MLG Tetris stuff in the background. Because I have my 2 monitors for editing, I would just have my second monitor just with like Tetris people.
Yeah.
Literally for maybe like 2 months straight, it was just, that's all I watched was all these old championship videos. And that game's so hardcore. You want to talk about like skill-based games, man. Like, if you master Tetris, that's the shit right there.
Yeah, because I actually, like, it's become a joke in the household now, but like Saturday, Sunday morning, I'm like, where's Carl Jobs like speedrunning video? I'm like, come on. Like, I just watch speedrunning videos in the morning on the weekends, like, kind of thing. And I love watching that competitive edge of things. Is there anything you ever dabbled in yourself?
Speedrunning stuff?
Yeah.
Nah, I watch a lot of it, like when they do those events every year, the whole AGDQ kind of things, you know, there's awesome games.
Yeah.
I love watching that stuff. But then again, I'll only scroll through what's been uploaded and then watch the games that I would play. Like, if I'll, like, there's always a really good Resident Evil speedrun in those events.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, so I see them doing something pretty funny or like some little trick, and then like the next time I play it, it'll be in my subconscious and I'm like, oh, that's right, they did that. Like, I want to give that shit a try, you know?
Yeah, no, because it's funny. Like, I would love, like, you know, we'll just say for argument's sake, like Summoning Salt does Spyro Trilogy. Someone cracks it. And I'm like, I never played Spyro, but I'm going to watch this like hour breakdown of like the speedrunning progression and all this. Like, I just find it fascinating, that sort of how people crack the games and stuff. Because I don't think I've ever like stumbled upon a glitch myself. And these people just know the game inside out. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I've never been, even though I've played a lot of games, you know, for a long time, I've never been that intimate with a specific game where I've been able to break the parameters of it in that sense. It's always just been limited to what the developers want me to see, kind of thing.
Yeah. No, 100%. Mm. And it leads me to my next question. How do you feel about your biggest video of all time being for Hentai Doom?
That's what you were going to ask ages ago, right?
It was. Yeah. No, I just finally got around to it. So it's nearly at, I'm going to be the hype man now again, 5 million views, which is no small feat. How do you think that got so much traction?
Oh, I can tell you how. It's the internet. It's just made up of people who have very singular minds. But it's you know, it really is the dumbest thing ever, man, because when I made that video, it was literally at the point when I would get like maybe like 1,000 views a video, right? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, I think, is that they assume that I always made these videos like I make them today, where it's like I was making them for an audience. But it's like, but no one watched my videos back then. I was just doing it for fun. So I made this video about it and I said a bunch of dumb shit. And I just thought, you know, to get it like 1,000 views and that'd be the end of it. And then for some reason, it just, you know, not for some reason, we know the reason, because like tits and ass get clicks. Just fucking exploded. I remember when it had 30,000 views. There was one day like I got onto my computer and it had 30,000 views and I was like, what the hell? Like I freaked out about that.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about it is it's got like a really high amount of dislikes, and that dislike ratio used to be like maybe like 70-30. Now I think it's like the opposite. It's like 70-30 positive to negative. So at least it's swung around the other way. But I said stuff in that video that's just so stupid that I would never say now. But like, it's, yeah, when you say things that you don't think people are going to hear, you kind of change the way you talk about things. But whatever. I mean, it's funny. You know, the guy who created that mod is actually a really cool dude. He's on Twitter. I follow him on Twitter.
Okay, yeah.
And he's done, I think he does sprite work for a lot of like actual big budget, like proper games. Okay. And then just on the side, he's working on this little like side venture. So yeah, it's an interesting saga. I had no idea it was up to 5 million. That's actually insane. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, some of like, I like when you do the mod corner, because again, it's with the speed running. When I watch some of your videos, I'm like, I never played this game. Why am I watching fucking blood mods? You know, I'm just like, it's like, why am I looking for an extension of something I've never seen? You know, it's like, yeah, a fascination. I think just personally, like, I didn't grow up with them, but like another stage, I remember going to like my uncle's house and he was like booting up Doom 2 on DOS. And I thought that was like the most old school fucking thing I've ever seen in my life, because I was only probably, you know, this might have been like 2003 or 4, so it's been out a while. But he's like, oh, let me dust off the old PC and boot up this on DOS. I thought it was like something out of Lost, where they're, you know, playing the fucking chess in like the 80s.
Yeah, thing. Yeah.
Just so stupid. But yeah. Something about it, man, I think it's, you just have to put more imagination into what you were playing. I think it somehow is more immersive that way.
Yeah, but I think it also just shows like the, I don't know, the options and the capabilities that a lot of those older games have. I mean, if you look at all, like, I mean, most big budget things that come out, like you play the game and that's pretty much it. You don't really have any room to go with it. But so many of those old games just have so many insane mods. Like Age Doom is a classic example. But I mean, there's like another mod that came out for Doom where it was just like super racist mod, and like all the enemies are replaced by like Nazis and stuff. And it's just like in such bad taste. But
I think, yeah, I watched that video, wasn't it? It was like Moon Man. The Moon Man one. Yeah. That looked ridiculous because I couldn't see it properly because I was watching on my phone. But I saw some of the sprites, the way they were operating. It was seemed like, I get what you were saying in it, just like it's so bad and obviously like racist that it's almost just hilarious.
I don't think it, like, the people who created it like seriously. I think it's just done to be dumb and to be shocking, and I think you have to look at it that way. You know what I mean? And I think if you can approach it that way, it is entertaining. It's stupid as hell, but it serves its purpose if it shocks and makes you laugh. But yeah, like I said, you would never get that in like a mod. Like, there's never gonna be a Call of Duty mod or a Halo mod that can add that kind of stupid shit in it. You know what I mean? So that's part of the appeal of those old games, I guess, and why people look at them so fondly, you know.
Of course. So in light with like the Moon Man mod and things like that, and as we were saying earlier, like G-Man is definitely like a little bit, it's definitely become more of a persona over time, as you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten any sort of direct flack that you felt like you needed to address directly, like that you know, or you felt like under threat that you had to maybe shut down your channel or lay low for a while? Is there any negative things that's popped up over the last 6 years?
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, there's always something that, I mean, like you say, like I've done like 600 something videos, and I'm not going to do 600 videos without pissing people off, you know, a lot of the time. I guess, like, yeah, just statistically, man, you have to just kind of accept that you're just going to say something every now and then that is going to piss people off. It's a combination sometimes of, like I said, I'm always trying to be pretty honest with what I think about games when I talk about them. I think sometimes it's a combination of me just being honest and that not gelling with people. And then sometimes I just get it wrong. Like, I'm not going to say I'm perfect. There's been plenty of videos, I'm sure, where I've just completely missed the point. So it's probably a part of a big reason why I don't think I put myself out there personally a lot too, is because I am kind of worried sometimes about the repercussions of what people might do. Because people are funny, man. Like, I had one guy who, even recently, like when Doom Eternal came out, and I loved Doom Eternal, I thought it was an awesome game. And, you know, and this one guy was just like, started this tirade against me on Twitter, like just like brutal, just like going, you know, carving into me and calling me all kinds of names, and which I don't care. Like, it doesn't upset me, but just like going hardcore, man, to the type of point where it's like, if you spoke to someone like that in real life, you'd get fucking knocked out. Like, you'd be fighting over it. It was relentless. And then he got banned from Twitter because, I guess, enough people.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, I guess enough people just reported him, man. So he got banned, and then he started up a new profile. And like a couple of weeks later, it started again. He got banned again, and then the guy, you know, started emailing my business email and just like saying, you know, you're a fucking idiot, this kind of stuff. And the weirdest part was, whenever he was arguing with anyone, he would post these screenshots from his Discord server. You know, Discord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'd post screenshots from a Discord server where he was having a discussion with this other person who was agreeing with what he was saying, as if showing the screenshot of someone agreeing with him proves his point, even though you had 20 people disagreeing. And then we later found out that he owned both profiles and was just like talking to himself or something. It was a really fucking weird occurrence, man. So that's why I have a private profile on like Facebook and shit, and don't have a LinkedIn anymore. It's because I just don't need people like that tracking me down and figuring out where I live, kind of thing. So it's and it's so dumb because we're talking about video games. We're not talking about politics or what the fuck ever. We're just talking about Doom. We're literally talking about a fucking video game. So it's it's just part of the whole territory, I think. But you just gotta take it as you can, take it as best you can.
Yeah, because I won't disclose my secrets of how I got in touch with you here on air. But how many people would you reckon do sort of reach out to you in this case? Why did you say, yeah, sure, I'd love to talk to you? Is it because I was in Sydney as well?
No, I'll be honest. Like, I'm generally pretty receptive to anyone who messages me, because I do get a lot of messages. But like, if someone actually puts the effort into the body of the message in terms of saying, hey, like obviously you message me and you're like, you're doing the podcast, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes someone will just message me and say, hey, and that's like literally it. So it's what do you want me to say back to that? It's not to be rude, but it's like, if someone just says, hey, and then someone says, hey man, I watch your videos, I like this, blah, 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 you thinking about reviewing this game, I'm going to reply to that comment, because it's like, there's going to be a dialogue there. Actually, like a really good mate of mine now who I play games with like all the time, was just some guy who randomly messaged me once, and then he lives in Melbourne, and I ended up meeting him in Melbourne last year. And then, like, you know, now they just play games with the dude all the time. So it's yeah, I mean, if people are genuine, there's no problem there. I'll try to reply to every single message I can. YouTube comments are harder though, because there's like literally hundreds, if not thousands, and so it's really hard to track those. But private messages, man, I love hearing from people. It's like, it's kind of why I like to do it, you know?
Yeah, because for myself, like, I wouldn't be as big as you, clearly, much smaller, in fact. And when you do get messages, I always, like, I like reaching out to the types of you who, like, would appreciate it. And I sort of just have a very simple philosophy when it comes to, like, social media. I think, you know, like, smartphones just came at, like, I was a year or two too late, that if I had it in school 2 years earlier, like, I would have been fucked, basically. So just online, like, it's a case of, I never post anything political, just as a rule. I never post anything with profanity as much as I can get away with, on Twitter especially. And yeah, just be like courteous in direct messages. I've never messaged anyone and said, you're a fucking cunt, I hated you and what you said, you know, like, I just hate that sort of chatter. And like, recently, you were mentioning, did I know Discord? I set up a Discord, and, you know, it's like a small little group of people, and we just chat about anything. Like, it's barely about the podcast. It's just people who just like chatting about movies and, you know, different bits and pieces, books and whatever is going on. Yeah. Like, just, it's good to foster a community, I think. And it seems like, you know, all your sunny gyms, as you call them, they seem like a good bunch overall. There doesn't seem too much vitriol or contrarians in the comment section, at least I can see.
Yeah, well, we used to have a Discord server a couple of years ago, and it's actually funny you say that because I actually had to shut it down because it did get too toxic. not because of me, but just because I literally put out like a open link to this Discord server when Discord kind of first started.
Sure, yeah.
And we had like 5,000 people there, and it got to the point where it's funny you say it because like I'm not a political person either. I mean, I have my political beliefs, but I don't use my YouTube stuff and my Twitter thing as like a platform to try and spread it, because people don't give a shit what I think about stuff either. It's no one else's business, and you know, you just let people believe what they want to believe, right? So, but like, yeah, the Discord server, just because that's what just Discord servers devolve into, man. They just become racist and little cesspools and shitholes. So we just kind of had to literally nuke it, and we just got rid of it in like a day. Because it just got to that point where it's like you log into a G-Man Lives Discord server and there's just like Nazi memes posted and like fucked up stuff. And yeah, it's like...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, luckily the numbers are small on mine and I actually personally know most of the people on it. So
yeah, well, that's the way to do it. You don't put out an open casting call for a Discord server. That's what happened was exactly what would happen in that instance. So
yeah, no, it's kind of funny in that regard. You know, it's like the monkey's paw kind of thing. You're like, yeah, I'd love this community, and it's like it turns into a cesspit.
Yeah, like it's gotten to the point where like I'll like a comment from someone on Twitter because I see like a funny comment, you know what I mean? I've had this in the past where I've seen someone say something funny, I've literally just liked it, and then like a little while later someone will bring up an argument. Yeah, I saw you followed this person who's like anti-trans or something like that. It's like, what? It's like, I saw a dude post a funny gif and I liked the gif. I didn't check the dude's credentials. So getting into that whole like political thing, it's fucking dangerous. It's muddy waters, man, to start getting into that space as well.
Well, like not to, well, I'll dance around the rim here. I'm all about it. Just in terms of what I feel like, again, back to Irish people, British, Australian, like that's so, I feel like, American focused.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
I
just don't, I understand it, but I just don't understand why, well, basically they're just like all losing their minds at the moment with like Trump versus Biden and all that kind of crap. And it's like, I'm just on the sidelines with popcorn, just like, what is going on? But everyone's just losing their minds online. Because as you were saying, like people, that guy messaging you and chasing you and stuff, but like, his wife probably doesn't suck his dick and he hates himself, you know? Like, you just don't know what's going on in people's lives that there's so much hate and stuff. You're like, you just have to just take a wide berth sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's I mean, you never really know you never know what someone's lifestyle is and what's going on. So it's, and I've had shitty days too, and I've been really crabby and annoyed at stuff, but I've always tried to avoid, getting into those kind of debates with people.
Sure, look, myself, I'll say it openly. I did a tweet after a few beers at a Daniel Andrews that I swiftly deleted after for that muck up he's doing down in Victoria. But I broke my own rule and I had to delete the tweet.
Oh, right. But at least at least that's like geographically, you have like a claim to say something about that, right? Like for us to say something about what's happening in America, it's just like, and I've seen Aussie YouTubers and Aussie people I know, content creators, commenting on stuff over there. And I'm just like, dude, why the fuck are you talking about that? No one cares what an Australian who makes gaming videos thinks about what's going on with Joe Biden. You know what I mean? Just stay the fuck away from it. If you want to comment on what is happening in Victoria or what ScoMo's doing, that's a different story. You know, I think you're more... it's more acceptable for you to talk about that kind of stuff, but yeah, it's geographical, you know, no one cares.
Yeah, well, no, you see, that was on my personal Twitter. I was more saying about the brand Twitter. I would never defile the brand.
But it's funny too, because like I think Aussies are very like, it's probably same with the British and Irish too, right? Like we're very self-deprecating, like we don't mind fun of ourselves, like so yeah, like dude, we're like we're an island of like convicts. It's like, do we really have the right to talk about shit anyway? Like we've been dumped on this island. I don't think we have really any stakes here to be commenting on. So I just find that funny.
And most of them were Irish or English, so that's even the funnier part.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we've been chatting now a long time, and I know the G-Man needs to go back to his G-Man duties.
G-Sleep.
Some G-Sleep before the G-Weekend.
Yeah, yeah. G-Drinking on the G-Weekend.
A few G-Man and tonics.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, dear. Mr. G-Man, where can people find you online? I know, obviously, we've been talking about YouTube and it's a bit redundant and all the links will be in the comments, but let's hear it from the horse's mouth. Where can they find you online?
Yeah, you'll find me on YouTube and Twitter pretty much exclusively. And if you ever want to, yeah, look me up on Twitter and send me a message and say something very nice and I will reply to you. As long as you don't just say, hey, I will try to reply.
So, yes, it was a pleasure talking with you today, G-Man. We must catch up over a VB if the pubs ever open.
Yeah, up in at 2022 some stage. When they open up the pubs again.
We'll have a vaccine beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, an absolute pleasure. And for everyone who has been listening, I hope you enjoyed. Links for the Discord is open in the comments, as we were just saying, don't do that. But as always, you can find everything at the Bizarrecast and check out G-Man down in the comments. Until next time, take care. See you next time.
End of line.